Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. Everybody stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. I'll wait on some of you. Some of you are old and decrepit. Make sure that's totally blocked. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, turning your Bibles, be it a digital Bible or a paper Bible, contrary to some of my traditionalist brethren, there's really no difference. It's just another form of papyrus. The power is in the word, not what is on for you paper saved. Now, I got saved through a paper Bible, but you can get saved through a digital Bible too, for my paper saved Bible only people. Building and Battling While Waiting and Watching, Part 21, the Second Coming Chapel Message of the Week, number 305, which represents 305 Saturdays in this series. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Just by my reading that passage, for those of us who are saved and born again, even though this is a terrible and it's going to be a very painful event, it brings joy to our heart, because we know that after a while, by and by, this world will be over, and the new world will begin for those who have believed, like David, in the Lord. So, don't be like Lot's wife, more concerned about the world, looking back at the world, and you missed the world, and you missed Neiman Marcus, and you miss the mall, and you miss the pleasures that are in, the evil pleasures that are in this world. Something's wrong somewhere. You may not be born again. And yes, I'm here every day by the grace of God to try to get people in the church saved and people outside of the church saved. And by the way, somebody tell Charlemagne, I like Charlemagne personally. I don't agree with everything he says, but somebody go and tell Charlemagne, I don't say the other part, that he may die early if he does not stop messing with God's name. I've seen this happen before. You don't call yourself, God, for whatever you're trying to do. I mean, whatever name you're trying to put on yourself. But I tell him I would not be surprised if he won't be checking out early if he does not take God connected to his name off and stop using God's name in vain. You run and tell him that. Tell him I said it. I am not interested in getting into it with Charlemagne. He's a very gifted speaker. I'm not interested in that. But I'm concerned about his soul. And normally when people do stuff like that and they're persistent in it, bad things happen to them. And I have the love of God in my heart for all people. No matter what side they're on. That has nothing to do with the sermon. God just put that in my heart to remind him to go ahead and tell him that he needs to stop that. Take that other half of that title off. The truth of the matter is he's not Charlemagne and he's not God, but he can have the Charlemagne, but he can't have the God name. Go run and tell him that. And I mean it. I'm not playing. I'm preaching something else, and God just put it in my spirit to tell y'all right now. And my son is telling me that thousands of folks listen to us every day all around the world. So maybe you might know him. I know T.D. Jakes knows him. And T.D. Jakes, if you're listening, tell Charlemagne to take the God thing off now. Don't do that. That's not. God does not like ugly. God gifted them. He's a gifted man. But that right there is not going to get it. Anyway, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the whole world is going to be dissolved, destroyed. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, that is your lifestyle, what you talk about and what you do? How ought we to be? What kind of attitude ought you to have? As a Christian, you should have a cheerful and joyful and loving attitude and spirit about you. There ought to be a sweetness about you. And some of you used to be that way, but you have backslidden on God. And you're hateful now. You're bitter now. You think somebody has done you wrong now. And you're mad as the devil. You used to be around some other folks and you were sweet. There was a sweetness about you, an innocence about you. And because they were sweet. And now they're gone and you have changed. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You hypocrites, you whited sepulchres, you adulterers and adulteresses. And I'm using biblical words at you now. What manner of people ought we to be? What a question. What a question. What a question. It gets right down to where the rubber meets the road. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, everything is going to come tumbling down in destruction. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, you won't get this on CNN or MSNBC or Fox. You'll never hear this. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. No more sin, no more hatred, no more racism, no more prejudice, no more homosexuality, no more fornication, no more adultery. And I want you to know, you who are adulterers and adulteresses, and you live, that's your lifestyle. What manner of people are we to be? You fornicators, you drunkards, you homosexuals, you effeminate men, the Bible tells us you will not be going to heaven. And nobody else is going to tell you that. The preachers have been bought off by the homosexual agenda movement. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to coddle you, and they're not going to tell you that you're going to hell, to burn forever and to be tormented forever. Don't get mad. I'm talking to everybody, whoremongers and whores, heterosexual whoremongers and whores, homosexual whoremongers and whores, liars, sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. You won't experience this. Nevertheless, those of us who are saved according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You won't be there doing that. Don't fool yourself. Some preacher has lied to you, thinking that you can go to heaven shacking up, living in adultery and living in incest, living in homosexuality. You won't experience this. You will not be going to see the new heaven and the new earth. You're going to be in the darkness of hell. And you can mark that down. Now let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the miraculous services that we just came out of. The Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, number 497. My. What a work you did in my heart and in the hearts of others. I give you the glory and I give you the praise and I give you the honor, for all of it is due your name. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I cannot thank you enough for saving my soul. And I hope everybody who is saved feels the same way. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, help everybody here and out there Lord, to confess their sins if they are believers in Christ. For Jesus Christ's sake, continue to have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of all of our sins. Make us whiter than snow on the inside. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. For those of us who are saved, born again by your grace, not just church members, but who have been washed in the blood of Christ. Feel each and every one of us afresh and anew with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing, the fruit, and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Grant us your unction and your power, your energy and your strength to not only preach your holy word, but to hear your holy word and to obey it. Now, Holy Father God, on a Saturday, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, and we know that he is attacking, and he's going to do everything he can to try to hinder us from preaching your holy word and your holy gospel. He cannot stand that. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, and Sanballat and Tobias out of the hearts and minds and lives of people here and everywhere who have these demonic spirits dwelling in them or influencing them. For these demonic spirits, sadly, are still in the world, and they are designed to try to hinder your gospel from going forward, your holy word from going forward. Thank you for giving us the victory for thousands of days, and I pray that you would continue to do that and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the sins that these demonic spirits produce, such as pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, witchcraft, bad attitudes, bad spirits, darkness, grieving your Holy Spirit, the demonic sin of hindrance and distraction, and betrayal and sabotage even of your work, if they could get away with it. And Lord, I this sounds far-fetched to the sweet little evangelical church folks and the sweet little charismatic church folks today and the sweet little Baptists. They don't like to hear this. This is not a part of their program because they operate in the flesh and they don't believe that, they don't believe your word, they don't believe you, that the devil exists and he's not here to play games. He is here to destroy us, to devour us, to stop us and to hinder us. And Lord, if it had not been for you, Lord, on my side, Lord, I would have been destroyed by the devil a long time ago. And so, Lord, help people to understand that we are in spiritual warfare. And I pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this time and from all of the ministry that is supposed to be done throughout this day to get the word of God out on demand and from the preparations for tomorrow. If you should tarry your coming and if you would allow us to live. Lord, I pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving, Lord, around the world, as you have blessed us with the tools and the means to preach your holy gospel around the world on multiple platforms, live and on demand, which I just find extraordinary. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done. Lord, invite and draw by the power of your Holy Spirit. For all you have told me to do is preach. I have nothing to do with anything else. Lord, you amazingly find people with the gospel that is being preached, and you save them. I don't know how you do all of that, but I thank you for doing it. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify your holy name. Not only in this service, but after this service, in the afterglow service time, and throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for a sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and yes, I do know we have some sweet evangelicals who want to box me in and say, now you're an evangelist, you just preach nice little sweet evangelistic messages to the lost. You don't need to preach to us. Oh yes, I do, because you're lost. Some of you people in the church are lost. If you're saying that, you're probably lost and on your way to a devil's hell. Religious but lost. Religious but lost. And Dr. J.C. Rao, a great theologian and preacher of years gone by, said a time draws near when Satan shall be bound, glory be to God, and Christ's saints shall be changed. When sin shall no more vex us, glory be to God, and the sight of sinners shall no more sadden our minds. That is, not the people, but the sin. When believers shall attend on God without distraction, that's going to be a beautiful day. Because to serve God in this day and time, you got to deal with distraction, oftentimes from people who claim to be Christians, hindrance. You got to fight to serve God today. You've got to deal with spiritual warfare to serve God today. Just that alone, and for me, is going to be heaven, where I don't have to fight to serve God and to worship God. And love him with a perfect heart, a pure heart. For that day, let us wait and watch and pray. Now, beloved, in our last message on last Saturday, we looked at how we must live holy and godly lives in light of the second coming of Christ. In light of the second coming of Christ, in light of the day of God. And the truth of the matter is, we ought to preach on that for about 10 weeks. In light of the second coming of Christ, we ought to live godly. We ought to live holy. See, there was a day back yonder where people took holiness and living right seriously. And some, yes, took it too far and became Pharisees and Sadducees. And I hate being around people like that, and so did Jesus. even though he loves everybody. Religious people, but lost. Religious people, but confused. Religious people hard on certain things and hard on religion, but don't even know God, don't even know Jesus Christ as Savior. The blind leading the blind. It is so sad. And that's why I preach to the so-called church and try to lead them to Jesus and the people outside of the church. How about it, dear friend? If the Lord came and knocked on your door right now, could you answer quickly? Or would you have to pull yourself from the pornography you're looking at? Or would you have to pull yourself from masturbation while you're looking at some ungodliness on a screen? Or would you have to pull yourself from Bo Peep, who's not your husband? Or would you have to pull yourself from Sylvia, who's not your wife? The devil is a lie. Or you didn't even hear the door because you're knocked out drunk. Have you been born again? Are you truly saved? The Bible tells us to examine ourselves and see whether or not we be in the faith. And so the next big point is that we can look forward to a new world, a new heaven and a new earth, a world of righteousness, and watch this, therefore, of peacefulness. Have you learned yet that where there is sin and evil and rebelliousness, there's no peace? See? Where there's sin and evil and rebelliousness and foolishness and ungodliness, there's no peace, man. This is why I tell people constantly, get your heart right with God. I've told my wife that thousands of times over the years, over 33 years. I have preached this to thousands of folks. Get your heart right with God. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, stay away from sin. Confess your sins and repent. And get your heart right with God. Get your heart right with God. Confess your sins and repent. If you claim to be a Christian, because you will not have peace in your life if there's no holiness and righteousness, if you are a child of God. You're just not going to have it in your personal life, in your mind, in your family, in your church, in your ministry, in your business. I remember trying to help a family, a Christian family, supposedly a Christian family, there was more confusion and ungodliness. Every day, there was just confusion and no peace and no joy. Every day. And you know why? Because there was no righteousness. They said they were saved, but they were disobedient and rebellious. They said they loved each other, but they were at each other's throats every day. And I tried to tell them, folks, y'all need to start the day with prayer. You're very gifted. You're very smart. Some of you are geniuses in this family. You're millionaires as a family. You serve as missionaries. But every day there's some mess because you people don't pray together. You don't read the Bible together. You talk a good game, but there's always confusion all day long. Things go wrong that would not go wrong if you would pray together and read the Bible and practice what you preach. You spend over half a day over something that should have never happened. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we can look forward to a new world of righteousness and peace. When God ends this world, and Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will rule and reign. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." You say, well, why a new heaven and a new earth? Because we have defiled this earth and heaven with what? Our sins. There's still very beautiful places on earth. But when man shows up, it is defiled. Man has a way of defiling every little thing. It seems like his purpose in life is to defile things with sin and ungodliness, misusing the blessings that God has given to us, and the stench, no doubt, rises to heaven. The evil we do, the nastiness we do, the meanness, the hatefulness. And by the way, let me say again to you single mothers, God's going to deal with you. I know the sweet little church folks, evangelical folks, don't want me to tell you this because you know you're a special class. You have never done anything wrong. You're a wonderful woman. You big old bully preacher, not to pick on them. God wants me to tell you, as I've told you before, you single mothers out there. And I'm going to say something to the single men out there as well. This is just unrighteousness. Just yesterday, not too far from where I am, again. Now, you done messed up and had a baby with a man who didn't want you. And you want love so much, you don't care for your own child. and you leave your child with a man who is not the child's father, and while you're there, he'll coo and act like he loves the child and wants to marry you and your child and all that damnable foolishness y'all be talking. I don't care if you like it or not. Nothing but foolishness. That man is not going to love that child like his own. And I got something for you men today as well. Because you're acting very stupidly. But let me get through with this. Because this happens every day in this country. Women, single women, foolishly put their baby that does not belong to this man that she done found from the dog heap. Don't get mad with me. You're a lie. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. And you are so in love now, and you just think that everything is wonderful with this new man, and he's going to love you and your child and all of that foolishness. Well, here's what he did. 2-year-old boy. Mommy's boyfriend. And this is happening in the church today, too. Don't tell me, I know. Well, somehow the little boy wiped some feces on this man. This man evidently lost it and beat the 2-year-old child to death. How are we doing? You sweet little evangelicals. You sweet little Baptists. Under your watch. You sweet little charismatics. How are we doing? Oh, no, you don't want to hear that. Everything's perfect, wonderful, and dandy. And you want to buy a new plane. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. That's what you're talking about. But in your neighborhood, this is what's happening. And I guarantee you, not a church in the area has knocked on the door to lead these people to Jesus. That's what they need. Now, here, let me just say something. If that happened to the real father, that would not have happened. That real father who loves that child would not have done that. But because we got some kind of imposter in here who has duped this woman, he did that yesterday. And the police officers tried to give the man the benefit of the doubt, but the man had to admit what he did. We're not living in a time of righteousness. We're not living in a place of righteousness. This is the kind of foolishness we're dealing with, the evil we're dealing with every day, multiple times a day. And we have women in the church and pastors telling these young ladies, oh, you messed up. Your mess up is going to be a ministry lie. See, your mess is going to be a ministry one day, honey. Yes, No, it's going to end like this. And she's going to have to live with that for the rest of her life. Someone said that she was inconsolable. Now, let me say something to you men out here who you act like you lost your minds. You single men. Let me hip you to something. Let me tell you something. Leave other men's children alone. Have you lost your mind? And some of you sweet little Christian men are like this. You're willing to take on a woman with three or four children by three or four men. And let me tell you something. Those three or four men, those fathers are always going to be in her life and those children's lives for the most part. That's why so many people are getting killed, hurt. I know you don't like to hear the truth. And we have a church that has egged this foolishness on instead of churching people and dealing with people about this foolishness. Let me tell you men something, you single men. For some strange reason, you always want to go for some woman with an already made family. And then you want to feel sorry for her. You come and tell me you want to help her and you want to help her with the children and so forth. Have you lost your mind, boy? You see, I'm doing my eyes because I'm getting angry with you when I do that. Have you you men who want these ready-made families? You want to help somebody. You want to help the woman and her five children. And you just so crazy about her. And here's a single woman who ain't never had a baby. Go give her a baby. You give her a baby. Your baby. I don't get you. See, you, preacher, you trying to put down people who got blended families and put down women who have two and three children and they want a man and they need a man. And that's what you tell me, you women, you older women in the church. Well, she needs a man. And, you know, and then she just messed up and had two children and so forth. There's nothing wrong with the single man who does not have any children. You so focused on what the woman wants and what the woman needs. And by the way, single women, if you have sex outside of marriage, you're going to want to have sex over and over again. You're going to get hooked. And then that's how you get pregnant. And I'm telling you, men, here's what you need. When you see a woman with a child, and you don't see a wedding man, let me tell you what the wedding man is. The child. Stay away. She already has a man somewhere. And after a while, by and by, when she gets tired of you, she'll have him up there again. And then in the house with you, with her and the child, or two or three, and you'll come home one day and there's a man sitting there. And she's going to tell you because she's already angry with you. Now, this is Derek's father. Yeah, but what is this Negro doing up in here? Well, yeah, okay. See, now you're ready to fight. Now you're getting huffy. But I try to tell you for years, you don't need to be doing that. I know women who don't like me. They don't like me to say this. And they don't like it when I tell men, don't be doing that. Well, I feel sorry for her, and I want to help her in the trial. What are you, a charity? What are you, a man? Who do you think you are? Because, see, this is what happens. That is not your child. And when the heat is on, when the heat is on, when the heat is on, this is what happens. See, little children get abused and killed because that's not your child. Sir, what happened to your charity? What happened to your nonprofit that you were talking about how loving you are towards the woman and towards the woman's child? You want to be a father to that child and you want to marry that. If I marry your mother, I'm marrying you and all this kind of foolishness. Unrighteousness, people. Ungodliness. It leads to this mess. And then you women who lay down and have sex, and then you don't want the children, and then like a woman did this yesterday, you throw the child off the bridge, two children off the bridge. I was getting ready to say something. That happened, I think, yesterday or this morning. One is dead and one is in critical condition as I speak. You love the sex, but you don't love the babies that come from the sex. You lying devil. Well, that's what we did. This is where the rubber meets the road. Don't get mad at me, sweet evangelicals. Sweet charismatics. Sweet church folks. Sweet Baptists. Don't get mad at me. This is happening in your neighborhood all day long. While you on television talking about I need a plane to avoid the mask mandate or the vaccine mandate. Send me millions of dollars. While you sitting on your behind doing nothing, you hypocrite. Not spending one dime on trying to win people for Christ in your neighborhood. Concerned about yourself. We live in a world of unrighteousness right now. And those of us who are truly saved, we look forward to the world of righteousness and peace. And when there's and where there's unrighteousness, there's no peace. No peace to the wicked. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation groans because the sin of man has subjected the world to the harmful effects of the fall and of sin. Do you have that? And that's so true. The whole world groans. The animals groaning. This is the impact of sin. You know why you're constantly having problems and troubles and tribulations and so forth? It's because of your sinful nature and everybody else's sinful nature. I'm glad to see other people telling the truth about their marriages. Because you're a liar. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. Trying to convince people everything is hunky-dory with your marriage and friend, that's impossible. See, I know this. You know it. Everybody knows it. That's why over 50% of the people get a divorce. People who have it all. You take Angela Jolie. At one time was a beautiful woman. I forget the her husband, Brett, or whatever his name is. Brandon, or whatever. They had it all. Looks, sex, money, houses and lands, and able to fly in jets. And the divorce process with these people has gone on longer than the marriage. They were in Eden. Why? Because of our sinful nature. Isn't it interesting? Beautiful people can become ugly real quick. Why? Why is that? Because of their sinful nature and their sinful choices. That's why I'm telling all of you males and females, you can swipe to the right or left, or up or down. I don't care less. There was an article yesterday in the paper that said people make a decision very quickly on whether they're going to swipe on somebody. You say, preacher, have you ever swiped on anybody? I have never even had the app on my phone. I don't even know what you're talking about. But that's what I've heard. If I was lost and on my way to hell, I'd be swiping too. And if I was lost, like some of y'all in church, I'd be swiping too. And they said that people make a decision within 1 or 2 minutes on whether or not they're going to swipe and try to get with this person. You know, and you know what it's based on? Based on? It's based on their looks. That's what they're going for right then and there. Let's see. But I have news for you. Somebody very pretty, somebody you think is handsome, can turn ugly. Ugly. As we used to say back in the day, ugly. They can become ugly very quick. And before you know it, the person you're trying to love, you're going to be hating. And this is why I encourage Christian people to do the right thing and stay married. And not quit on their marriage and family. Because anybody can do that. Obviously. I have more respect for the people who stick and stay, knowing that their husband, their wife is not all that in a bag of chips like we used to think. And you tell the truth and shame the devil. And you stay together because it's right to stay together. Yes, and it's, watch this, contrary to what our little Christian society and the worldly society says today. Yes, my friend, it is right and good and wonderful and best to stay together for your children. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I don't know what you're going to do afterwards when they're gone and you're in an empty nest, but it's best to stay together for your children. After Jesus Christ returns, we will dwell in a new heaven and a new earth, where we are told in Isaiah, we will be able to rejoice forever and forever, and nobody and nothing will cause harm or destruction. Can you imagine being in a place like that? Living here, while you're striving to serve the Lord, you're going to have some devilish Negroes, be they white or black, mess with you and try to hinder you. That's a fact. Some of y'all were trying to come to church to hear me preach this morning, and you had a devil messing with you, trying to hinder you. I got to go hear the preacher. This is my preacher right here. Yes, I have a pastor and everything, but this is my preacher. He's this preacher. He's crazy. But he's crazy good. I don't like everything he says. He makes me mad. But I feel something stirring down on the inside when this brother preaches. He holds back. He does not hold back. He just lets it rip. And I love it. If you're talking like that, you're saved. But I guarantee you there's going to be a devil. Come here, honey. Here, come here, man. You know, come on back in this bed. Now, I got to go hear the word, man. I'm saved. And I want to hear the word this morning. Folks be pulling on you and trying to distract you. You got to march on. In this world, you got to fight to serve God. You got to fight to worship God. You've got to fight to hear the true word of God. Because the devil and his cohorts will try to stop you. And you miss your blessing. I guarantee you. If you were in the previous service this morning, you got something. And if you missed it, you missed it. But you can get it on demand. It'll be available to you soon. And Dr. Matthew Henry said it will terrify and frighten the ungodly to see the visible heavens all in a flame and the elements melting. Yet the believer whose faith is the evidence of things not seen can rejoice in hope of more glorious heavens after these have been melted. and refined by that dreadful fire, which shall burn up all the dross of this visible creation. Here we must take notice of what true Christians look for. True born-again Christians look for a new heaven. I'm going to tell you something. Just the fact that there's no unrighteousness, there's no devil, there's no demons, there's no people demon possess, there's no human beings who look like the devil. Do you have any family members who look like the devil? You say, preach, you ought not to say that. I know that's not evangelical. I know you have your rules, you Pharisees and you Sadducees. But there are some people so filled with the devil, they look like the devil. And they act like the devil. Yes, that's right, in your family. See, come on now, sweet evangelical. You got some people in your family you hide. You all have not taken pictures for the public in years because you got some people in your family, your Adams family, your hypocritical Adams family, who look like the devil. They look like Elvira. Come to find out, the beautiful Elvira, found out this week, the beautiful Elvira is a lesbian. I knew something was not right about those evil people. I was raised up on the Adams family, so I know what I'm talking about. And we have people in the church, families in the church. They're the Adams family at home and the Brady Bunch at the church. They're hypocrites, phonies, and fakes. And you don't like for me to say that, but it's true. Don't tell me, because I was raised up in a family like that. We were the Adams family at the house. But on Sunday, all of a sudden, zip, bam, boom, we became the Brady Bunch. It was an interesting phenomenon to me. New heavens and a new earth. That's what I'm looking for. With all that righteousness and orderliness and peace. See, another thing that won't be in heaven is confusion. The devil is the author of confusion, not God. In which a great deal more of the wisdom, power, and goodness of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be clearly discerned than we are able to discover, pardon me, in what we now see. For in these new heavens and earth, freed from the vanity the former was subject to, and the sin they were polluted with. See, sin pollutes everything around. We're filled with pollution, dirty, filthy, ungodliness all around us. I'm here to tell you, and God made it plain, and Jesus made it plain, you've got to serve God on purpose. You've got to fight to serve the Lord. Not like the false preachers and teachers who tell you that you're going to rise on wonderful pillows of ease. That's not Christianity. I don't know what that is, but it's not true Christianity. I said yesterday, and I'll say again today, that Christians were first called Christians at Antioch, and we need to get back to that and stop being called something else that's not even in the Bible, evangelicals, charismatics, and so forth. And I said yesterday that I believe the word evangelicals was a compromise with the world to get Christ out of our name so that we would be more accepted in the world and by politicians in the political world. Kind of similar to Merry Xmas. Only righteousness shall dwell in the new heaven and the new earth. This is to be the habitation of such righteous persons as do righteousness and are free from the power and pollution of sin. All the wicked shall be turned into hell. Those only who are clothed with a righteousness of Christ, with the righteousness of Christ reflected in their righteous behavior, their repenting of their unrighteousness, and sanctified by the Holy Ghost, shall be admitted to dwell in this holy place. Glory be to God. The blood of Jesus got to be on you. And what is the ground and foundation of this expectation and hope? And dear friend, it is the promise of God to look for anything which God has not promised is presumption. But if our expectations are according to the promise, both as to the things we look for and the time and way of their being brought about, we cannot meet with disappointment. For he is faithful who has promised. He is faithful who has promised. He is faithful who has promised. Don't you worry about a thing. Some of you people are worried right now. You're fretting about things. Our God is faithful. And this ought to bring peace to your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. He's going to bring it to pass, as he said. Our God is not willing that any should perish, but he wants everybody to come to repentance. That's why he's tarrying, because he's trying to give everybody an opportunity to get saved, because God is love. How about it, dear friend? Are you saved? Are you born again? If not, get saved today. God is not willing that any should perish. He's waiting on you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Allow me to show you how to be saved from hell, how to be saved from the destruction of the world, and with you in it, based upon the Word of God. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to believe in him today, because he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. Here is how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have messed up. We all have sinned against God. Have you ever broken any of God's Ten Commandments? The answer is yes. I don't even know you, but I know that's the answer. Or it should be the answer. You say, well, you know, preacher, I've lived a pretty good life. Or have you? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything, even as a child, from your parents? Have you ever lusted in your heart after people and things? You coveted what other people have. Have you ever dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed your parents? Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? Like Charlemagne is doing, taking God's name in vain. Second, dear friend, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. We all have sinned. And as always, there's a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the punishment of sin. We die because of the same thing, sin. The coronavirus plague is just a means of death. Cancer is just a means of death. Car accident, we don't die for these reasons. We die because of our sinful nature, our unrighteousness. As we've talked about this morning, we die because of our sinful choices. That's why we die. And some of you never knew that. You just learned that. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. We have funerals. We have funeral homes because of sin. Our souls will spend eternity in spiritual death, in hell forever. There's a great punishment and there's a great penalty because of sin. Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell as I speak, if you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And repented of your sins. And Jesus Christ, by the way, He was very loving, of course, when He was here on earth, and He's loving now. But He loved you so much to tell you the truth. Jesus Christ was and is a hellfire preacher and the greatest of all time. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Isn't it interesting that most preachers don't preach on hell? For many are hypocrites and phonies who just want your money. They're not interested in your soul. Jesus was and is. Jesus Christ, in fact, preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You say, preacher, when are you going to shout and hoop and run around and make a whole lot of noise? That's what I'm used to in church. I'm not used to this right here. Well, here's the problem. Did you get saved listening to all of that? Did your life change? Ever since I got saved and God called me to preach, God made it very clear to me, I want you to make my gospel clear. Because I was raised in churches where they did all of that. They had a crescendo and hooping and whooping and running around the pulpit and trying to shout people up. I have never done that. And when you listen to the preaching of Jesus Christ, he never did it. Because all that means nothing. Jesus wants you to understand the gospel. He wants you to believe the gospel and be saved. He wants you to comprehend it so that you will trust him as Savior. And so he made it very clear to me, make my salvation message very clear. Whether they get saved or not, you make sure that they understand it. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell. Based upon the words of Jesus Christ, who preached the gospel best and who preached the gospel first and best, when he said the most important words, the most loving words, the most wonderful words in the history of the world to mankind, recorded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means that God loves you. If you're in this world and you're hearing me right now, God loves you. For God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Literally gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, no racism here. No special treatment here. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Believe in who? Believe in Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross. He lived a holy and perfect life, and then he, on his own, chose to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross for your sins and mine. Was buried and rose on the third day. Believe on him today to be saved. Because one day, the world will be on fire. And she will go away. Jesus will come. And everything that the Bible says will happen, will happen. And if you don't get saved, you will be in hell forever. That whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus Christ, should not perish. That means you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. You will go to heaven freely based upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross. For John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Believe in him today. Church membership cannot save you. Being in church all of your life with your family will not save you. Giving money to the church won't save you. Getting baptized will not save you. You did not hear Jesus Christ say any of this. He simply said, believe in me. So ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to do that today. Do it right now. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. If you're willing to get saved, if you're willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're doing that right now, pray the sinner's prayer with me. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. This is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. You can't work for it and you can't pay for it. You don't have enough money and you don't have enough hours to pay for it. It is a free gift for everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's call on his name, believing in our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ for our salvation. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you throughout my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe the best way I know how, in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today, as I believe in you, based upon your holy word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil life and ways and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the holy word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. You can read it free of charge. It's a free download. After you enter through the door, what to do? What to do after you have entered through the door? Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved. God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. is our prayer. God gave me a wonderful break throughout part of the spring and summer, and now he's got me back preaching every day. So if the Lord tarries his coming, I'll be back here tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock Central Time. And make sure, now if you are a Christian, you go to your church, but if you know folks who need to be saved and you want them to hear me preach the gospel, send them over, and we'll be glad to preach the gospel to them as well. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you so much for what you have done here today once again. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit. What a privilege it is to serve you. Thank you for two great services today. And Lord, we pray that lost souls will be saved live and on demand for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.